Reading for today is taken from Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 51. This text follows directly on the heels of the story of the boy Jesus in the temple. Then Jesus went down with them, his parents, and came to Nazareth and was subject to them, but his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would now increase our faith through them. Amen. When our first child was born, a little boy, I remember thinking to myself and even asking a few people, how am I going to know when my child knows right from wrong? To kind of begin the disciplining process. How will I know that? And I remember an older dad said to me, oh, trust me, it'll be obvious. You will know when they know right from wrong. And it'll happen sooner than you think, he said. And boy, was that ever true. When my son was 9 months old, I was watching TV one night. He was crawling around on the floor, still had a nook in his mouth. And he looked at me, and I had told him to stay away from something, and he kept going back over there. You could tell in his eyes he knew exactly what he was doing. And he was kind of tempting me to see how far I would let him go. And I finally had to get to the point of smacking his hand because I didn't want him sticking his finger in an outlet. But it's amazing how quickly, even in the child, that knowledge and sense of right and wrong comes out. We certainly know from Scripture that all of us have been conceived and born in sin, as David says. Job says, man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. And I hope and pray you get to be parents someday and get to discover all of this for yourself as well. I was talking to an older man in my congregation many years ago, and his son is somebody I had gone to college with, and he had been a little bit of a troublemaker, and we were talking about his son's youth, and he told me that he was always a little bit more careful with dealing with that son than his other children. And the reason was, he said, he was just like him, and he knew what he was like, and he knew if he pushed the wrong buttons, this could go the wrong direction. And so the aspect of parenting and taking care of our children is certainly an interesting stage of life. And as we know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And when I look back on my childhood and adolescence, there are so many times when I did get in trouble and times when I should have, but my parents didn't maybe know. Our home life is sort of the arena in which the sinful nature inside of us can often play out the most strongly, sad to say. In our relationships with siblings and relationships between children and parents and sometimes mom and dad to each other. And so it can often be a very delicate place for some of these relationships and so on. If you talk to athletic coaches, let's say a basketball coach, they will tell you that they strategize when they look at their next opponent, they strategize for their greatest strength, for the opponent's greatest strength. If you look at how generals who wage war look at their opponents, they often strategize toward the greatest strength of their enemy, because they know how important it is to try to knock that out. So that shows you something about what is your greatest asset, if you will, if you are a team or if you are a country, by how much your enemy tries to destroy that and take it away from you. Think about all the different ways that the devil can't stand families. Think of all the different ways that he hates marriage in our culture today. Think of all the tools and devices that he tries to get us to use and all the different things that can happen in our lives to get us to diminish and not think as highly of the blessings of marriage and the role of being a parent. You can tell by how much God's enemy and our enemy as believers, you can tell by how much time and effort and energy he puts into trying to take away family and relationships of parents and children, by how you can just tell how significant it must be in the kingdom of God. how significant and important marriage and family and parenting must be from God's perspective in heaven, by how badly and how much the devil wants to strip all those things away from us. So God would have us recognize the tremendous beauty and significance of family life, marriage, and relationships between parents and children. And we see this in our text today, that God himself, when he works out the plan of our salvation and sends his only eternal son into the world to take on human flesh, he doesn't drop him into a palace. He puts him instead into a family, a very humble, lowly family, and yet believers, people who love the word of God. Boy, can you tell that with Mary's Magnificat? I remember one of my professors used to say in seminary, you can sure tell how Mary knew the scriptures by that beautiful psalm that we call the Magnificat. My soul magnifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. It's just flowing with phrases from the psalms. So God chooses her as the mother and Joseph as the father to be the very spot in the world and in world history where the plan of our salvation will get worked out through this little child that is now in their care. And God shows the significance of family and marriage to us in so many other ways too. How are we supposed to call to him? Our Father who art in heaven. Jesus' first miracle is performed at a wedding to provide them with joy and celebration over this wonderful gift. Your baptism, the Bible says, is equated to the imagery of a groom and a bride getting married, the way we are now by faith married to Christ. So there are many, many places throughout Scripture where God shines a spotlight on family and marriage and parenting and all of that to show us how significant this is in his mind. And Jesus does not withdraw from his family and go off and live into a cave. He doesn't withdraw from family life, but throughout his life stays there and lives there. We're told he increased in favor with God and men. And then Luke pens these little words. I love this. Very simple words. He was subject to them, his parents. He was subject to them. He willfully was obedient to them, and he didn't have to be coerced into this, didn't have to be forced into this. This was all voluntary. We're told Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. That's all we get about Jesus' childhood other than that story. That's all we get until he's 30 years old. But that's all we need to know. That's all God feels you need to know. He was a holy, perfect child, unlike me. He was an absolutely spotless, holy, perfect child who submitted to his parents, did everything that they wanted. And he did all of this to fulfill the very lack of righteousness I have and you had in your childhood and adolescence and even today. He completed and perfectly lived out the will of God under the care of his parents to make sure that you, on Judgment Day, would have a spotless, holy record to hold up by faith before God. Not one you created, trust me, talk to your parents, but rather one that your Savior has created for you. All we need to know is that Christ came into this world not just to die and rise again for you, as great as that is, but to live for you an actual life, to sanctify every moment of your life where you and I have not been sanctified by ourselves. And so each stage of his life, infancy, childhood, adolescence, young adulthood, he came to purify those and to live them out purely, to become for you your righteousness, your holiness, and your redemption. And when you and I have been blessed with faith in him, probably instilled in us by our parents, when we have faith and trust in him and put our confidence in him, we benefit from that holy, perfect childhood of Jesus. Now, I want to close with this. God had very specific reasons for selecting Joseph and Mary and their home. We can kind of see some of them in Scripture. It'd be fun to get to heaven and find out even more. Why in particular did God select them? But we know that he placed his son there to work out this plan because so much was going to be required of him in his future. Now, I want to bring this to your life. Probably most of you in this room were blessed to have Christian parents in your lives, at least one. So Why did God decide to put you in the family where you would hear his word on a regular basis and be probably shown and led to the importance of Christ as your Savior? My brother died a few years ago. The last thing I got to do with him was to sit here in chapel and worship with him. 2 days later, the Lord took him to heaven. But he used to say to me every once in a while, we need to remember how we have been so richly blessed in our family, how we have been so richly blessed with God's word in our family. And he used to quote the passage to me frequently, to those who have been given much, much will be required. So I'd like to turn that passage to you with your life and the fact that you probably grew up with Christian parents. To whom much has been given, much will be required. How will God now use you in your future adult life, and maybe as a parent and a husband and wife and so on? How will God now use you in a way that demonstrates the richness that he has given you from your home life? How can you now translate that wonderful blessing that you've been given into your future life, knowing that it's purely by the grace of God that we're going to get to heaven, knowing that we have this Savior who has done it all for us, lived a perfect life from start to finish for us, and that holy, perfect righteousness is what now covers us? How can we use that wonderful blessing we've been given into our future? Amen.